I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Is Donald Trump calling the shots here, Mr. Speaker?
Of course not. He's not calling the shots. I am calling the shots for the House. That's our responsibility. And I have been saying this far longer than President Trump has. I have been saying what the requirements are to fix the problem. I don't care if they call the legislation H.R. 2 or not. What we're saying is you have to stem the flow. The president has executive authority right now. As Congress does this negotiation and the debate and discussion, the president can stop it. Section 212F of the Immigration and Nationality Act, the Supreme Court has already acknowledged, gives the president broad executive authority.
He could
close the border literally overnight.
He could close the border literally overnight. He has the authority already. And yet, if you listen to the Democrats, he can only really do it if we give him this border bill that we want to push through, which really does not secure the border. It actually allows up to 4,000 illegals a day to enter our country. But if more than 4,000 enter in a week's time, in other words, all of them today, well, then they'll shut it voluntarily for maybe a week. Maybe. We don't know how long they would shut it. And if there are 5,000 that all come today, they would let them in, but then not going to let any more today, and when we'll resume it, not sure. And if 80, and that would be mandatory, they had to close it. If 8,500 illegals show up at the border based on this border bill today, they will let them in. But they'll shut the border again for how long? We don't know. Everything in this border bill just assimilates, opens opportunities for more illegals to come in, and yet we're going to basically declare that they are acceptable because they meet a certain number for that day, that week, whatever. And the gall of the leftist press to continually ask House Speaker Mike Johnson, is Donald Trump calling the shots? Would they possibly consider asking Chuck Schumer, is Joe Biden or the squad, are they calling the shots, telling you how to stand firm and not move on this? I have not heard one question like that. Oh, Larry, Donald Trump is not in office. He's a former president, so he should have no sway. You as an American citizen have sway. I have a sway in what I want or don't want with this bill. That doesn't mean Speaker Johnson is going to follow my opinion. But at the same token, Biden and the squad are members of Congress and the presidency, so certainly they have a right to put in their effort. But they basically want, again, to dismiss you, the American public. I do not want the border closed simply because Donald Trump wants it closed. Do you? Please don't yell that loud back at me. I got it. And by the way, put down the one-finger signs. I got those, too. I know it's not meant for me. At least I hope not. All right, welcome again. Here we are, Feb 6, 2024, the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA. Back-to-back, right here for you, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Twitter, Zoom. Also on News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter, Zoom. No more on YouTube. They got knocked off again. They got a second strike against the station. YouTube is just going to be that way. Let them be. Can't put lipstick on that pig and make it look any better. But back to the border bill. Again, Chuck Schumer yesterday, and I want to go back to yesterday's remarks because he's really trying to make it clear to you, if we don't get this, everything hangs in the balance, and he's so concerned about the border bill. Listen again to how he phrased it yesterday.
And the border, everyone has said it's chaos. A speaker, you just saw Speaker Johnson, he said it's chaos. We have to do something legislative a few months ago. But what has happened, in answer to your question, so this is crucial for America. It's a turning point. History is going to look over our shoulders and say, did we rise to the occasion? To his credit, Mitch McConnell did. But too many Republicans, yeah, including Speaker Johnson, are just scared to death of Donald Trump. Donald Trump has said he wants chaos. Donald Trump has said, well, wait till I become president. That'll take at least a year. Ukraine could be gone. The border will get much worse. War in the Middle East will get worse, maybe bringing us into it. He's doing it all for political reasons. And let me just say, will senators, the crucial question, the $64,000 question, the majority of Republican senators know this bill is the right thing to do. It's a compromise. I don't like everything in it. Neither does McConnell. But it's a compromise. That's the only way you get things important done in the Senate. We proved that 2 years ago in our bipartisan legislation. And will the senators drown out the political noise from Trump and his minions and do the right thing for America? It's a crucial question. History is looking down on every one of us right now.
Yes, we are. We as a nation are looking down on it. And again, I don't want it passed because of Donald Trump. I want it passed for the security of our nation. But they like to throw Trump and MAGA in there as if there's a reason you should go ahead and accept it the way we presented it. No, that's even more reason not to. And even Bernie Sanders, independent, is now saying, I will not vote for it. He's in the Senate. I'm not going to go for it. In fact, I'm looking right here that even the Senate Republicans are under additional pressure. And, of course, they're going to say from former President Trump. Look, they can say that all day long. But who puts those senators in office? The voters. They may or may not like Trump, and if you want to make a claim, well, Trump is pressuring, I don't care. But Trump is not the one that can put them in office or yank them out. I brought you into the Senate, and I can take you out. That would be you, the voter. But again, I'm looking at this piece. The Senate Republican whip, John Thune, South Dakota, says his staff has briefed Republican senators and their offices on the details of the border package and said a motion to debate and proceed the bill will not get much, if any, Republican support. You know who's now swinging in the wind? Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate. And yes, it's time for having a major change at our GOP leadership in the Senate. I want to point something else out. You know this event that happened the other day with the illegals attacking New York City cops? They were attacking them, beating them, everything, and they were picked up by police. Not all of them right away, but those that were picked up, they briefly went to jail, and then they let them go, except for one. They let all of them go. And one of them walks out just smiling and giving a double-fisted one-finger to you and everyone listening and watching. You know what that meant. And you're just saying, F you, America. You came to this country. You broke into it. You want to be part, and you're here to steal and rob and beat up on police officers. Even New York Governor Hochul had to say, you don't touch our officers. You don't touch our officers. You know why she had to say it? Because Donald Trump told her to do it? Oh, no, no, no. Did the voters indicate to her, you better step up on this one? And she did. Mouthing words. But then NBC had on board their legal, not their legal analyst, but their law enforcement analyst, and he laid out for them what was at stake with this group and what's been going on. And this is just, he calls them 1%er. I say it's probably closer to 80% of some of them. Go ahead.
There is this 1%er, you know, criminal element that looks at a different opportunity here. These individuals, I went over their rap sheets yesterday, multiple charges, grand larceny, robbery, attempted robbery, grand larceny. This particular crew operated on mopeds and scooters. They were doing organized retail theft. They were doing snatches on the street, iPhones, iPads, clothing, so on and so forth. One of them that they are still seeking has 10 charges on one day because he's part of a pattern that's been going on. And I'm looking at the dates that their arrest started, which is probably close to when they got here. They've only been here a couple of months. So what the detectives are telling me is they have crews here that operate in New York, do all their stealing, then go to Florida to spend the money, and then come back. And I'm like, well, why don't they just stay and steal in Florida? And they said, because there you go to jail.
Yeah, you go to jail in Florida, so we're not going to do it there. Sanctuary cities and states, we can get away with it. And again, how many do you think in New York want to put up with it? There was one video that's been posted. A guy comes by on one of these little mopeds or whatever, and a woman's walking with her purse. He grabs her purse. It's still hung to her arm, and he pulls her behind the moped and slams her into a parking meter while he races off with her purse. Is that what you want in our country? Well, you don't know who we've let in already, do you? And where they are and where they're going. But then yesterday you had KJP, because she was with the president in Vegas, and said, it is so important that I make a statement on this.
Hello, I'm Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, and greetings from Las Vegas. I'm traveling with the president today.
Normally, I would wait until we get to Washington to film a video like this. But yesterday, after months of negotiations, the Senate announced a historic bipartisan deal to address our pressing national security priorities. That includes the toughest and fairest set of border reforms in decades. For decades, the immigration system has been broken. This bipartisan bill will make our country safer, make our border more secure, treat people fairly and humanely, while preserving legal immigration and staying consistent with our values as a nation.
What are our values as a nation? Protect Americans. An open border does not protect Americans. This border bill does not protect Americans. What it does do, give more money to Ukraine, and does give money to Israel for their military aid. Well, there was already a bill offered separate for that from the Speaker Johnson from the very beginning after October 7th. But Schumer said, this is a farce. We're not going to take it. It's $14.5 billion directly for Israel. No, we want to tie it to a Ukraine bill, because if we approve this, then we lose an opportunity to get money for Ukraine. Chuck Schumer said last week, oh, we'll have this ready to go to the House, to the Senate for a vote floor on Wednesday. You know what he's now saying? He's saying, I'm willing to delay pushing the package until maybe Thursday. Why? Because of the things I was telling you earlier. And even among the Republicans who've been kind of on the edge and not sure which way to go, even Senator James Lankford, Republican of Ohio, lead Republican negotiator, who's basically been set up for a firing squad, said last night, I don't know whether I will vote to proceed on Wednesday. It's fallen apart, as well it should. We'll have more on this coming up later, and the piece of garbage that it really is, and in our next segment, an expert on border security and immigration. But first, the Middle East and Iran. Maybe Iran already has access to a nuke. Do they have the will to use it?
Essentially, the Iranians already have a nuke on layaway. They just need to connect all the dots. What we can do is go back to President Trump's maximum pressure campaign, starting with stopping them from exporting oil and selling cheap oil to China, which is filling their coffers. If you look, what's the difference between 2021 January, when Trump left office, and now? Iran has enriched itself. It's really gained the confidence to go to war with Israel, to take Americans, not just Israelis, Americans being held hostage and killed by Iranian proxies, and literally fighting us throughout the Middle East, in Syria, Iraq, and in the Red Sea. So just the president also needs to look the American people in the eye and explain the strategy, why we're there, what we're doing, and how we're going to get ahead, aside from just, you know, blowing up a few old Boston whalers that don't have people on them.
Yeah, because we're not doing really anything. What is the strategy? Now, we don't need details, but you need to have an overall plan, do you not? Yes, Larry. I'm glad you asked that question. We do. You were listening then to Christian Whitman. He is a former George W. Bush senior advisor, so he knows of what he speaks. Now, here's someone else that you've heard before, we've had on the air numerous times, James Carafano with the Heritage Foundation, also lieutenant colonel retired, and his thought is that we have Iran constantly outplaying Biden.
We think that that's lowering the temperature, not escalating. But if you look at it from the Iranian perspective, as they're afraid of us, they're worried about the election, they're worried about poll numbers. So I'm the one running the game here. I'm in charge of this, not the Americans. You go after the things that the regime really fears. And the two things that they fear most are the stability of the regime and the immense cash flow. If you cut the cash flow off and you threaten the regime,
then you threaten the regime and they begin to feel the pinch and the hurt. As Reagan had done, when he put a sanction in and shut down their warships or their ships off the coast. And as Trump had previously done, too, sanctions where you know oil is going out of Iran for money. So here we hear it from Whitman, who served under G.W. Bush, saying Iran probably has a layaway nuke, but do they have the will to use it? And Carafano saying they're outplaying us because they think we're too afraid to do anything. This administration, that's what's at the heart of it. The state-controlled leftist media has something to distract you from any failures in dealing with Iran, the economy, or even Hunter Biden investigation.
Good morning to you. We're coming on the air with breaking news about former President Donald Trump. Just moments ago, a federal appeals court in Washington, D.C. rejected Mr. Trump's legal claim that the former president is immune from criminal charges for his efforts to overturn the 2020 election results. This all ahead of his criminal trials that are slated to start a little bit later this year, as early as March, perhaps.
He has been really singularly focused on this case, including posting on social media overnight what he believes is the importance of continuing this concept of presidential immunity past the presidency, suggesting that any future president would immediately be indicted after leaving office by the opposing party. He argues in public, to a lesser degree than in his filings before the courts, that a sitting president would be unable to properly function if this ruling had gone against him. And that was a post from last night.
Yeah, you were listening then to NBC. Breaking news, Trump is losing this appeal. And their analysts saying, oh, this is going to be bad for him. Could be bad for him. This is the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. Ruling that Trump is not immune to prosecution for conduct that the DOJ included in its indictment, referenced January 6th. The decision reads, I've got it right here in my hands, or as Rush Limbaugh used to say, right here in my hot hands, or sometimes he said nicotine-stained hands, to quit doing that. Bottom line is, we have balanced former President Trump's asserted interest in executive immunity against the vital public interest that favor allowing this prosecution to proceed. Who is doing it for us? Reference Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. Who is balancing the public interest in what is the hell is going on with that family and money coming in and out? Oh, now we don't want. Now we want to deal with this. This appeal was unanimous by the three judges on board, and according to one analyst, they sidestepped interpreting presidential immunity as it pertains to criminal prosecutions. So it's really a wash at this point, but they love to point out how bad it is. The Supreme Court has repeatedly upheld broad immunity from civil suits, but not established immunity from a criminal prosecution. And again, Trump in his statement said, if immunity is not granted, every future president who leaves office will be immediately indicted by the opposing party. We've been telling them this would happen. Coming up before this hour is over, we lost a major country star last night. I want to pay some tribute to him. And a vulture attacks Taylor Swift. I know you don't want to know anything else about Taylor. But really? You don't want to hear about the vulture that attacked Taylor Swift? And also, a police chaplain goes for a police ride-along. It's a deadly conclusion. That is still to come just in this hour. As always, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C, and it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails, and of course Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton, and I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
Pretty woman walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My next guest we've had on numerous times because one of her expertise and absolutely blows everyone away with her knowledge. We always welcome back Laura Reese. She is with the Heritage Foundation, an expert on immigration and the border and homeland security with the Immigration Center at the Heritage Foundation. Laura, again, welcome back.
Thanks, Larry, for having me back.
All right, so the latest word coming out today is Chuck Schumer wanted to have a vote on his border bill, which he said is all important. Everybody's waiting. We're going to look back in the future and see, did we mishandle this? And I say, yes, the way you're doing it, you are. But he's saying, you know, rather than having it tomorrow, we might move it to Thursday. The support is eroding.
It is. And it's still not enough time for some of these members to read a bill. That bill is 370 pages. It came out Sunday night at 6 p.m. While most normal people were eating dinner, it took me hours to get through that.
Yeah.
But it is a bad bill. It would not secure the border. It would give even more money, up to about $7 billion through multiple departments to pay off the sanctuary cities and to refill the coffers of the corrupt and secretive NGOs that are carrying this out all over the Western Hemisphere in the United States.
I'm glad you brought the NGOs up, because the money that was going to supposedly go for more border agents and all this is going to be processing, has to be housing. These NGOs, they kind of operate in the shadows. Now, originally some Catholic charity, something like that, might have really been, even though for humanitarian issues. But then I see private groups coming in saying, oh, we can do that. We can do it cheaper and give us the money. Help us understand that.
Yeah, this goes back to kind of classical, the U.S. refugee admissions program, where refugees in a camp somewhere else in the world would be interviewed to see if they're eligible for refugee protection and then brought to the U.S. Once the government interviewed them, vetted them, granted the case, then these voluntary agencies that they used to be called would kind of take over, get them their plane ticket to the U.S., teach them, okay, here's where your apartment's going to be, here's how you find the bus, here's how you get your first job,
sure,
here's maybe, you know, a few bucks to start you off, good luck. That has changed into a multi-billion dollar industrial complex where these NGOs get federal grant money from Department of Homeland Security, state, justice, health and human services, and on and on. And yes, a lot of them are faith-based. It's Catholic Charities. It's Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. It's what at least used to be called HIAS. I think they just changed their name, the Hebrew equivalent of Immigration Services. And all sorts of splinter groups. I mean, if your audience remembers ACORN, sure. Back in the Obama days, mm-hmm. It's similar to that. They changed their names. It's truly a web. But they seem to be everywhere, along with contractors, and they are very secretive. There are a number of videos floating around, the latest being out of the Atlanta airport, where a state legislator was tipped off that a bunch of migrants were being held in this meeting room. And so he went to check it out, and the NGO rep there didn't want to answer questions. And once the companion of the state legislator asked, can we video, then the NGO rep got angry and said, no, we're done, get out of here, and shoved him out the door. So this needs a bright, hot spotlight on
right.
it. Congress should be investigating this and not giving them another dollar.
Absolutely. And on top of that, if there's nothing being done wrong, why can't you? And in fact, one of those there stated before they told them to get out, that these are documented migrants. In other words, we've already given them papers, apparently just waiting to put them on a flight wherever they want to go. And they do not, I still don't know to this day. I have seen and heard reports, I'm sure you have as well, and more details. They can show up at an airport, be absolutely have no ticket, anything, and declare illegal, and they will put them on a plane where they want to go and document them on the spot, give them a picture, a photo ID. If not, they can use an arrest warrant in their pocket to show, this is who I am. Why are they getting on the planes? Oh, we lost it. We'll get it right back. Hello, disconnect. But we were talking about this the other day, weren't we, as to how they can walk in. If you want to walk onto a plane, there's no way in hell you're going to simply walk on until you get everything checked out. We have Laura Reese back. Laura, I was asking, how is it that these, and how accurate is, if I tell you or say that illegals simply show up and they print a ticket for them on the spot. They give them an immediate photo ID if they need it. And if they don't have one to get on a plane, they can even use an arrest warrant.
Yeah, that is common where their notice to appear document, which says show up in 3 or longer years before an immigration judge because you're deportable. That's the piece of paper that many of these aliens are using to get through TSA and onto a plane. Now you were, and I couldn't do that.
No.
For sure. Are
they being screened before they're allowed to get on the plane?
It doesn't seem so.
Oh, my God.
And they can waive having their biometrics taken, their picture taken. I don't think you or I could waive that. Yes, they're definitely being treated better than U.S. citizens. And it makes Americans very angry, and rightly so. And some of the flight attendants, the pilots, have been watching this for 3 years and saying very quietly off the record, look, we are trained to spot trafficking victims. We are absolutely seeing trafficking victims on our plane. So this is a mess. And it is completely opaque. We don't know how many organizations are out there, how much money they're getting. I think this will kind of, information will dribble out over time
right.
on this, but it's just going to.
It's
going to
be like the COVID funds. We're suddenly going to find out how much got spent on things that had nothing to do with COVID or got basically went in someone's pocket. But it'll take years to get to the bottom, and by then it's gone. And everybody
right.
wants to move forward. Now, on the bill that they're trying to present, Bernie Sanders is now saying, the independent saying, I'm not going to vote for it. And Lankford, the sponsor in the Senate from Oklahoma, is beginning to indicate that I'm not sure we're going to be ready to bring it up for a vote anytime soon. And I don't know how the hell he got talked into being at the front of the suicide squad.
Well, thank Mitch McConnell for that, who yesterday backed away and said, you guys can vote no on the cloture. So, this was about money for Mitch McConnell. He wants Ukraine money. He doesn't care about securing the border. And he's free to separate the Ukraine bill and the Israel funding bill, but they were using border security as leverage to get more Republicans to vote yes so he could get his Ukraine money.
Want to clarify something. You said for McConnell this is about money. You weren't inferring for his pocket. You're talking about for Ukraine?
For Ukraine, correct.
Okay.
Yeah. What they put in this bill substantively on immigration is the exact opposite of what was done in the very excellent House bill, the Secure the Border Act, H.R. 2. H.R. 2 would end a lot of the asylum fraud. The Senate bill would continue asylum fraud. It would give out work permits even immediately upon release, which is the number one pull factor for illegal immigrants. So you would just continue the flow of illegal immigration in the future. It would, rather than shut down the parole abuse that Secretary Mayorkas of Homeland Security has been using, tens of thousands of illegal aliens each month he's been paroling in, H.R. 2 narrowed the definition of parole. This Senate bill expands the definition and then codifies it. It would continue catch and release, despite Senator Lankford and others' claims that it ends catch and release. And it would create a border emergency authority.
Now,
but
right there, there's where I was going. Read my mind. We already have an emergency. And I'm hearing Chuck Schumer in his statement the other day, there is chaos at the border. Everybody says there's chaos. Well, this will result. So now they acknowledge it. Now they say we have an emergency. And that if you do this, this is an emergency action when they've already got authority under the immigration, I think, 212L, if you are more familiar with that than I am. But then also answer me this. When it's going to they say it will grant the president and DHS authority to shut down a border when encounters reach 4,000 over a seven-day period. That would be a voluntary decision. 5,000 over 7 days would be mandatory that shut it down. 8,500 one day be mandatory shutdown. I see nowhere about how long it will be shut down each time those numbers are reached. And you basically have said, we will allow these men in on a daily basis.
Yes, I mean, you're right. It's shocking now in year four, an election year, they suddenly admit there's a crisis when they refused to say that for 3 years. And yes, President Biden already has authority in the immigration statute, 212F, you are correct. That is a very broad, powerful authority. He used it his first week in office with respect to COVID. Trump used it. The Supreme Court upheld Trump's use of it. So Biden can do that today, but he doesn't want to because he wants to shift the blame to Republicans in Congress.
Why don't they know and understand you want Ukraine? We know that. And you're afraid that if it gets separated, you'll never get it. But if you give the money to Israel, as you, Schumer originally demanded, as soon as possible, and you go ahead and go with this border bill as for the House, and you cut all that, then we can focus on Ukraine. But they don't want Ukraine isolated, do they?
No, because they know a lot of Republicans are tired of just writing blank checks to Ukraine. It goes missing. It's paying civil servants. It's not to ammo. Corruption is taking over aspects of it, and there's no plan. What's the end game? We're not just going to keep writing checks. So, because Americans are weary and tired of funding that endless war, then McConnell knows that a Ukraine standalone bill would perhaps not pass.
And they're blaming Republicans for playing politics with the border.
Yeah, all that matters is actually solving the problem. I mean, our border's literally on fire. So if members of Congress can't get it together now and actually work to truly solve the problem and not play political games, then they can't be helped.
They certainly can't. Laura Reese, as always, I thank you for your time. Director of the Border Security and Immigration Center at the Heritage Foundation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Larry.
You bet. We'll do it again. As she said, her words, it's on fire. And they know it's been on fire. Now they're willing to admit it's a crisis. But we need an emergency bill that we're presenting. Coming up, how the government's been weaponized and sometimes targeting those who live in rural areas and love the Constitution and the Bible. Florida Congressman Gates coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
China didn't ask me about people knowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If Americans indicate online that the Bible and the Constitution are sacred to them, the very grants that are being issued by the NSF would deem those people in a separate and diminished class, where
no,
they would
sir.
Be, oh, it indeed, it is precisely in the
sir,
MIT.
I have the materials here. No, sir. I would request that the committee release the testimony of Kate Starboard, the University of Washington scientist, the former WNBA
player. But that wasn't this grant. That you're talking about a different grant, Mr. Eisen.
MIT explained
that if you're rural, if you're part of a military family, if you view the Bible and the Constitution as sacred, then you're going to be, and you know why they said you're uniquely susceptible to misinformation? Because if you think the Bible and the Constitution are sacred, you might not rely on the expert class.
Yep.
The expert class. That is Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz in a hearing on government weaponization against the American citizens. He was talking to a member talking about all the different grants that are given by federal government to different organizations. In this case, it's going to be MIT. I don't have time to get into the details of what they're battling over, except the point being that if you are not smart enough in the mind of the government, and if you're reading the Bible and you believe in the Constitution, there are those in the government that think, you're not so smart, are you? You read the Bible and you believe the Constitution? How have we come to this point in this nation? It's drip, 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 and gradually it becomes a little stream, and then it becomes a torrent, and pretty soon it's floodwater, and now we're clinging to whatever we can, and we need to. Part of it goes back to, and I'm not trying to pick on Obama, I'm just talking about a comment that he had made that, you know, there are a lot of people in the Midwest, basically, he didn't use the term Bible Belt, but that's been used as well, that they cling to their Bibles and their guns, as if that's wrong. Both of them are protected by the U.S. Constitution. But the point being here is that, once again, You've got different higher ups, echelons, more intelligent people than you, my friend, that know what's best for you and your family. Same is about what they teach your children and what you're allowed to know about what they teach your children and what you're allowed to know about what your children are doing. Matt Gaetz continued on that issue of the government weaponization going after Americans.
Because if you think the Bible and the Constitution are sacred, you might not rely on the expert class, right? You might not rely on all the folks in D.C. and at all the think tanks. And that's really what people have to rely on. And so when we're taking government money to go and try to harm people who have a particular religious view or a particular view on the Constitution, I would think that in that type of a circumstance, we aren't crying wolf when there's none at the door. When MIT wanted the grant that Ms. Richardson was just talking about, right? They went and made a presentation to NSF and they said, here's why you ought to pick MIT in order to do it. And it was to target military families, people in rural communities, people who believed in the Bible and the Constitution. And then guess what? With these AI tools, if you stack that up, maybe you're a person in a rural community who loves both the Bible and the Constitution. Well, then you're really susceptible to misinformation because the expert class thinks better.
Yeah, they know better and that you are easily swayed. And yet they're the ones that keep shouting extremist, extremist on the other side, MAGA extremist. And many people out there, they're just living their lives, doing the best they can to take care of their family. And that's regardless of their religion, their race, even their gender. They're just living their lives. That's what they want to do, which you're supposed to be able to do in this nation. Unless you actually commit a crime. But what they want to do here is, let's just take everybody that reads a Bible, owns a gun, maybe served the military. They live in a rural area. They're kind of hicks anyway. Let's just, they'll never know. They'll never, are you really, buy into that, those of you in the elite status? You kind of sound like the British did when we started our colonies. Oh, we'll go over there. We'll just take them out. They're not smart enough to gather strength and stand together. Now, I'm not going to deal with this story about Matt Gaetz without, I know some of you are saying, Matt Gaetz is facing child trafficking charges. What's happening about that, Larry? What are you going to leave that out? No, I'm not going to leave it out. I never intentionally leave something out that might sway and give you a different opinion or anything else, but let me clarify for you. Yes, Matt Gaetz had been accused of sex trafficking. There'd been an investigation, but the Department of Justice, and I'm reading it here, dated this month, informed a lawyer representing a one-time minor at the center of the sex trafficking investigation. The lawyer told ABC News, and others did as well, that the Justice Department has decided they will not be moving forward with charges. Okay, I know someone going to say, so he got away with it, right? He was involved in sex trafficking, he got away with it. Is that, again, part of the new law we have in this nation? When you're accused of something, we don't need to convict you. We'll just persecute you and by committee decide you're guilty. We don't need to go to court or anything else. You don't want to go down that road for anyone. If Matt Gaetz is guilty as they were originally investigating, then I hope to hell he does pay. But I don't know. I haven't seen anything other than allegations, rumors, murmuring. I want to turn your attention to something else for a moment, speaking about Bibles. I have one of our former pastors who has since retired, Randy Mayfield of Central Presbyterian Church, spent many years as a chaplain for the Clayton Police Department. He often go on ride-alongs with them, sometimes maybe offering a word of help or comfort for something. I mean, they're never going to take him into a dangerous situation. They're not, you know, somebody barricaded and shooting. They're not going to take him in that location. My daughter at one time, the oldest with an Explorer post, was riding along with St. Louis County Police. And again, they're never going to put them in a situation like that. But there's a case that came up in 1994 that's now there's a new twist. And when you hear what Governor Gavin Newsom has done, you're going to say, what is he drinking? In 1994, this guy, I'm not going to bother using his name, but he was a 24-year-old gang member at that time. He got into a bar fight. Well, the sheriff's deputy, 31 years of age, responded to the call, and he had with him their 39-year-old volunteer chaplain just on a ride-along, kind of seeing how police operate and seeing, you know, if there's any counseling needed. It's a bar fight. It's over. They're just going to go ahead and deal with the guy. And the officer decided, you know, I'm not going to arrest you. We'll just take you to your home. They got to his home, and the gang member thanked the officer by punching him in the face, grabbing his pistol as soon as he opened the door, and then shot the officer in the head, right in the eye. He collapsed, but he did survive. Then he turned the gun on the pastor who was trying to run away. He had a vest on because they insisted he wear one. They shot him, and he got hit by the vest and fell down or knocked down. He's on his knees trying to get up, and the guy comes upon him and shoots him again, this time right where the vest does not connect to the body, maybe around the neck, between his shoulder, exactly what they say, where there wasn't a vest, and killed the young pastor who was simply on a ride-along. The California Board of Parole had granted now the 54-year-old a youthful offender parole back in September. Youthful? They had a law in California that they could take someone and decide that, you know, we want them to be considered as a youth, not an adult. So they were moving the ages for a while. It was, I want to say it was 18 to 22. Then they moved it up to 26. You're still a youthful offender at age 26. And there was a standing order from District Attorney George Gascon, who's still there, who has banned members of his office from arguing against releasing killers. May I say that again? The District Attorney George Gascon barred members of his office from arguing against releasing killers. So they did not go to argue that this guy should not be freed now at 54 in a parole hearing. They have an order not to go. And he's certainly no longer youth. I don't care what you had. It's well past 26, but they're still trying to make that case. But here's where Governor Newsom does a turnabout. And maybe, I'm probably going to make too much of this, but maybe it's a seismic shift in the sense they realize we cannot continue to allow this. We got to have more law and order. Newsom overruled the state parole decision to release the man. That's right. The parole board was going to release him because nobody from the district attorney's office came and argued against it because they were told don't go. So they released him. Governor Newsom is overruling the California Board of Parole and saying this guy has a long history of violence. When considered as a whole, I find the evidence he currently poses an unreasonable danger to society. Therefore, I reverse the decision to parole him. Wow. It doesn't bring back the pastor. And by the way, he was not just riding along with police. He's often helping youthful offenders that might be facing trouble. Had many kids in his care that he helped get back on the straight path. We lost a major country star last night. I have that story and a sample of one of his top songs, plus the vulture that attacks Taylor Swift when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We got cowboys. We got truckers. Broken-hearted fools and suckers. We got got hustlers, we got fighters, early birds and all-nighters, and the veterans talk about their battle scars.
I love this bar. That is Toby Keith, born originally Toby Keith Coble, 1961. Passing away last night due to cancer he'd been battling. He released 19 studio albums throughout his time. Worldwide sales of 40 million. Charted 61 singles on the Billboard Hot Country Songs. Another one of his lasting number one hits I like are Beer for My Horses, a duet he did with Willie Nelson. That is a great song if you haven't heard it. And when I heard last night that Toby Keith had passed, there are a lot of bars around the nation that are built on his theme. I love this bar. There was one in Vegas. There was one for a period of time, I think, in St. Louis. There have been some, I think, in Nashville and also Los Angeles. It's just he was a common guy. And, of course, one of the other singles that I've always liked, Should Have Been a Cowboy. Well, he went out, not maybe with his boots on, but he went out leaving a great piece of heritage for all of us in our music. And it's going to be a loss to the music world, clearly. I thought I'd heard something a while back about that he was sick, but I didn't hear how bad. But he passed away last night. Was that 62, 63 years old? That's young. All right, I was telling you earlier, I know a lot of folks said, I've heard enough of Taylor Swift. Well, hang on a moment. Taylor Swift, of course, had a big triumph at the Grammy Awards on Sunday. She won the album for the year, meaning she now has many more wins in one category that the Vulture started attacking. The Vulture is the far-left New York magazine, Vulture, and is crying racism over Taylor Swift winning as many music awards as she did. Here's the way they wrote it. Taylor wins another album of the year, quote, now has more wins in the category than all black women combined. So, I mean, I would have bet him. Maybe a large number of black women. I don't know if they did or didn't, but bottom line is, it's based on sales and everything else and the response. But they had to play the race card. Taylor won the top Grammy prize now four times. Only three black women have won the award. Natalie Cole, amazing voice. Whitney Houston and Lauryn Hill, another great voice. And the Vulture then said, not giving a black woman album of the year. Again, snooze. But this piece also points out they failed to note that multiple black men have won Grammy's Album of the Year award repeatedly. Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, Lionel Richie, Quincy Jones, Ray Charles. Oh, my God, what a treasure. Herbie Hancock, the group Outkast. That's many more times than Swift has won. But again, having to play a race card on just because your music outsells. Every time something like this is put out and gobbled up by those who continue to want to make race a divisive issue in this nation, they succeed. They succeed. Gets everybody riled up and angry. Why are you upset? I mean, you may not like Taylor Swift. You might be tired of cutaways of her at the KC games, which will happen again, the Super Bowl. But got to give the woman credit and obviously a smart businesswoman and people around her. Coming up, more on our immigration issue. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.